Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, July 29th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 75, paragraph 1 in the chapter Into Action. It begins with, when we decide who is to hear our story. Step 5. Today, our readers are Manette M. for the 12 Steps, Rosalia P. for the 12 Traditions, Nancy L., Eileen M., and Naomi B. The reference number for this morning's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17422. That's 17,442. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is, the reference number is 17449. That's 17,449. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Manette M. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, Manette. Manette? Are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you, Manette.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Good morning. My name is Manette M. I'm a compulsive overeater from Oklahoma, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Manette M. And Rosalia P. will now read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, I'm Rosalie P., Massachusetts. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Rosalia P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted using the star 1 function on your telephone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter Into Action on page 75, the first paragraph, and I will ask Nancy L. to please read and comment on that paragraph for us.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine. This is Nancy in Arizona, grateful recovered food addict. Okay, page 75, first paragraph. When we decided who is to hear our story, we wasted no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. And that first word there, when we decided, it wasn't a if we decided, it was when. And the fifth step is what Into Action is all about, and I just wanted to read the fifth step again. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Exact meaning precise nature of our wrongs. And I'd like to give a quick example of how my first amends went with a particular situation. I was 18 years old and got into trouble with the law, actually. So the fine was either $300 or 3 months in the county jail. I was so petrified. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have $3, let alone $300. So I went to my boyfriend. That's what I did in those days. I would go to somebody and, help, I need help. So he was very kind to lend me the $300. Well, when I shared this with my sponsor, I picked a very dear friend in OA, a trusted friend to do my fifth step with. And so I did give her the exact details of that arrest and what took place at that time. However, I left it incomplete. And the fact is that after I borrowed the money from my boyfriend, very soon after, I broke up with him and never saw him again. I did not pay back the money, needless to say. Did I put that as part of my fifth step? No, I did not. I felt like enough is enough, you know, but I was there to explain the exact nature of my wrongs. And as it turned out, I explained to her the partial nature of my wrongs. So it was very incomplete. And when they say life and death situation here, it is the truth. Because for me, I went back out again. I wasn't recovered in those days. But when I did reach my recovery, I still left that part out. In fact, I chose to forget about it. But it started coming up, especially when I could hear other people on the line saying that they paid back money. And I thought, oh man, that's what I gotta do. I need to pay this. I am not complete. I need to keep working on this. So anyway, I hope that helps anybody out there that might be tempted to leave out some of the grosser handicaps, but we need to be complete. And with God, I can be completely honest to the right person, that is. And thank you for hearing me. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. So we will now take a lineup, but though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, we'd love to hear from you. Please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Eileen M.
Roz G. Roz G.
Marcy G.
Marcy G. We've got plenty of room for more if anybody else would like to jump in the lineup. I've got Eileen M., Roz G., and Marcy G. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Hi, Debbie P. Thank you, Debbie P. Okay, well, let's get started with Eileen M.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and this just brings back the first time I did the fifth step. And, you know, I was on a retreat. I was on an OA 12 and 12 retreat, and it was given by someone who was from the Los Angeles Intergroup. It was really cool. And, you know, he told us exactly how to do it, you know, the way it is in the big book. And I remember giving my fifth step away took several hours, so my sponsor and I met on, you know, more than one occasion. And, you know, I just remember, like, feeling such relief after it was over because that was the first time in my life that someone knew all about me. And, you know, she didn't go screaming out of the room. She actually still talked to me after that. And I didn't think she would. I didn't think I'd hear from her again. And, you know, it was, you know, I told her, you know, I revealed my motives, my thinking, my behaviors, you know, all the obstacles that I had set up to my higher power, and she knew everything. And, you know, it really did feel like I could look the world in the eye afterwards. You know, I wasn't the worst person who ever lived, you know, because that's what I thought when I came to OAs. I would, you know, I'm the absolute worst, right? And, you know, this process really does get us right-sized. And I've done, you know, several four steps since then, and I've had some very embarrassing things on my fifth step, really. And the thing is now I no longer dread doing this process. I don't dread doing fourth and fifth steps. I actually, you know, sometimes I look forward to it because more gets revealed every time. And I'm very grateful for the process. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Roz G., you are up next, followed by Marcy G.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm Roz, and I just wanted to, I'm Roz G., I am a compulsive overeater recovered in Palmdale, California. And what I wanted to talk about for me today is the life and death errand part. because, you know, I've done several fifth steps. I'm in my car, so it might be a little noise. And the first one I did, my sponsor said to me, do you feel as though this is a life and death process? And this was in 2002, you know, so a long, long time ago. And I didn't really think of it as life and death. I mean, because I, you know, I still had a lot of ego that needed to be diminished and squandered and deflated. And I didn't quite get that. I needed to go through a lot more pain and suffering and mangling before I would see that it really is a life and death errand. And for some, it may be a physical death because of what overeating does to the body and, you know, your digestive system, and it screws with it, you know. And that could be it. It could be the mental depression that people have, you know, wanting to commit suicide because of just being so depressed, coupled with the disease of compulsive overeating. And, you know, for me, I did get, you know, depressed to a point where I didn't want to live anymore, but I was too afraid to die. And it was my eating and other way, a lot of other problems in my life. And so when I got rid of all that stuff, I still have to get rid of stuff every day. And, you know, that comes through the 10th step. But it is such a release to let it, you know, to unburden myself from all of that junk. And with, you know, continuing on with the steps and continuing on with the 10th step and the nightly reviews helps me to be healthy mentally and physically. And so I don't want to die anymore. I want to live. I want to, you know, recover to live. I'm on my way to Sedona. I'm going to a yoga retreat. I'm living. And I don't mind going alone. You know, I'll meet some people up there, but I'm at a point where in my life where I'm cool just going by myself because I love to be around me and my higher power. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Sounds great. Okay, Marcy G., you're up next, followed by Debbie P.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
You sound great, Marcy. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I just tuned in, but I wanted to say on step four, I loved talking about myself, of course, and then I kind of didn't enjoy learning about myself, the true self. But then I kind of understood it, and so the fourth step has been very important to me. Now, the fifth step, when I went through it the first time, I withheld things from my sponsor whom I had at the time, and I was too full of embarrassment to discuss something really that I needed to put out there. And I really remember thinking, I can do this part my way. I can do this my way. I don't need to, you know, be telling this person this stuff. You know, I'm sure I'll go through this again and maybe I'll feel better about it, which did make some sense to me. What happened is that eventually I did the rest of the steps that same crappy way. And just as a way that I could just extend my experience here is that I've had to start over and I've had to withdraw me being recovered because I could not possibly have been, even though I have the food in its proper place in a, you know, sense. But so I'm back on steps one and two, and I'm making outreach calls, trying to connect with others, but people who are recovered so that I can learn about them at this point in time where I'm at right now. So I just am very thankful to those in Vision because I'm really finding most of my strong recovered people through Vision, and I really need you guys very much right now because I'm done lying and I'm done trying to do things my way. So I hope whoever hears this, it helps somebody. So thank you, guys. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Marcy G. We're very glad you're here. Thank you for your share. Okay, Debbie P. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup on people who'd like to comment on page 75, paragraph 1, which begins with, when we decide who is to hear our story. Please go ahead, Debbie P.
Good morning. This is Debbie P. I'm gratefully recovered in Indiana. I love the shares. Everybody has said a little bit of what I was thinking about with this paragraph. But basically, I guess for me, there was never a question of deciding who was going to hear my story. It's always going to be my sponsor, because I have a lot of experience with having that comfort and support from people in the program. And I've never said anything to anybody that shocked them or pushed them away or anything like that. But I have a lot of experience with people that are not in program of being shocked at things that I say and walking away from me. So I think for me that's just, there's no deciding. I've always found that whoever I share with, they've usually got similar stories, and they're closer to me, they're more loving and more supporting, just my being willing to be open and vulnerable, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie P. Okay, so though we value your experience, we do ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to comment on page 75, paragraph 1, let me know.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Hi, Linda. Mary G.
I heard Mary G. and maybe one or two other voices with her.
Eileen D.
Eileen D.
Linda B.
Linda B.
B as in boy.
C-T-T.
C-T-T, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I use my initials from California.
Lovely. All right. And anybody else? I've got Donna B., Mary G., Eileen D., Linda B., and CTT. Okay. Well, let's start with Donna B.
Elizabeth T.
And Elizabeth T. So, Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I'm afraid I'll need to pass. My husband is needing to speak with me. I'm sorry. If you could try to pick me up at the end of this round, I'd appreciate it.
Consider it done. Thank you, Donna. Okay, Mary G., you're up next, followed by Eileen D.
Hi, this is Mary G., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona. When I read this paragraph, I thought back to my first step five, which was on a fourth and fifth step retreat, almost like right after I had gotten into OA. And I most certainly did not want anyone to know about me, which is why I went on to a retreat where nobody knew me. You know, it was certainly not something in my mind that, you know, I would disclose to someone my grosser handicaps. I just did not understand that this was about me. My first fifth step was talking to her about all the people who had wronged me. Of course, my fourth step wasn't any good either. You know, as I thought about it, you know, years later and coming down, I've been in the OA for 32 years, I realized that every time I was in the food and doing a fourth and fifth step, I wore a mask. I never was honest about what I was doing, and I couldn't do it the way that the big book tells us to. And of course, I never did get recovered because I really wasn't willing to change. And when I finally did put the food down, when I finally surrendered it, and then did my first fifth step with a sponsor, and she, you know, listened to me. She did not make any comment. Just listened, and that was it. That was okay. But what I found the most helpful was my next sponsor that I also did a fifth step with. And what she did is she asked me if she could take notes while I was talking. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I said, what are you going to do? You know, publish this afterwards? And she, you know, laughed and said, no, she just wanted to help to identify patterns or identify areas that she might see, you know, coming up in what I was sharing. And I thought that was so helpful because she did help me identify patterns to help me identify things that, you know, I needed to look at in those character defects in 6 and 7, which we're coming up on. And, you know, I too always did it with my sponsor because I figured she was the one who knew me the best. And so I'm grateful today that I've had, you know, very good experiences with step 5, and I have no fear of doing it. I'm actually in a big book workshop right now with Joe and Charlie with a group of women just locally, and, you know, we're doing it, and so I will be doing another step 5 with my sponsor, but I look forward to it, actually, because it's always been a time of growth, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary G. Eileen D., you're up next, followed by Linda B.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. My name is Eileen D. from Maryland. I'm a recovered, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I think what I like so much about this paragraph is the very first line, when we decide who's to hear our story, that part actually got to me because it, when I think about it now and my growth in the program spiritually, I believe very, very, very sincerely that God led me to the woman that I would give my fifth step, you know, my fifth step to. And she was just a gentle soul. She actually 12-stepped me into the program on Capitol Hill in D.C. back in the day. And she was so beautiful, and I felt so, I don't know, shabby is the right word in the midst of my disease, taking home a bag of groceries and telling her, laughing, that I was going to go home and just sit in front of the TV and eat or binge. And she 12-stepped me, gave me a number that I put in my polyester pants, came home, washed them, and the telephone number was still clear. So she became my sponsor. I went to my meeting. But my fourth step was I had such trust that it, I was following the steps, so my trust level was up. I had a lot of stuff to unfold and a lot of stuff to unpack. You know, good, bad, the ugly was all there. And yet my sponsor listened quietly, had me kind of say a few things, you know, that I might have glossed over. And at the very end, we lit my pages with a match, and it was given back to God. So it's just an amazing story for me. Over the years, I've done smaller step, fourth step, because there are times when, like, I've just moved, I've just sold my family home, my husband passed away. I mean, there's a lot of times that you just have to stop and, you know, say, okay, let's regroup here. Let's what's going on? Let's inventory what's happening. But for me, I think the most important thing is how honored it says by the end of the paragraph. And she, I felt honored, and I believe that the person that heard it was honored, and there was a renewed confidence in the program and how it works. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Eileen D. Linda B., you're up next, followed by CTT.
Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Linda, and I'm from Ontario, Canada. I'm new to Vision and have a new sponsor, and I've just started step 2. My previous experience in other programs, our 12-step programs with my step 5, I've always done it with someone in program, I always felt that they understood the steps and what this mission was all about. But what I'm hearing in my heart today, listening to people's shares, is that I've realized that I shared some of the big things in my past that needed to be looked at and examined and identified, and the defects and the behaviors. But, you know, it's some of those little things that we don't think, oh, that's just trivial. That's not important. That doesn't need to be shared with anyone. And as I've been sitting here listening, something has come to my mind, and I've never, ever put it down on a step four before. So, yeah, and I'll be sure and do that this time around. And I like the feedback I've gotten from the person in program that's been listening to me, because I have a hard time myself. I sometimes seeing it from the right lens, and I like another person's perspective to kind of turn it around and help me see it deeper or from a different angle to get more clarity on what's happened here in this situation that I'm explaining or sharing about. But yeah, so I'm really enjoying this meeting this morning, and it's really kind of opened my eyes and helped me to prepare me for what's up ahead. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has another abstinence day. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Linda B. Glad you're here with us. CTT, you're up next, followed by Elizabeth T.
Hi, everyone. My name is CT. I use my initials. My last name's Thomas, so T, that's where that comes from, and I'm from California. It's so wonderful to be on this meeting this morning and talk about the fourth and fifth step, well, really giving it away and picking the person. For me, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone who's been of service, and the shares this morning have been on target for me, just what I needed to hear. The magic of program is evident in all of the shares, and I love that part of program. It's one of the things that really keeps me coming back, is searching for that magic. And you have given me those examples already this morning, which makes me a little emotional. But for me, my first four-step that I gave away to my sponsor, she took a little bit of notes too. But what happened in that situation was she did. She was my sponsor for the first 26 years I was in program. But what happened is that the information that we shared back and forth, that I shared with her and we talked about, gave her ammunition to help me further my recovery. Not ammunition to hurt me, but ammunition to say, hey, CT, remember when you were doing your fifth step and you were struggling with this behavior? You know, you haven't done that in a while, but it's popping up again. And I can look at it because it was me who gave her that information. And I was just so grateful for that. And then when I started sponsoring women in the beginning, I didn't do much note-taking, but as I went to retreats and different things, I realized that was helpful for me because I'm kind of a forgetter. And so I would take notes as people would give me their information, and then we would go back together and look at my notes. And I only wrote down things that they said. Embellish anything. And we would go back at the end of the time of doing a step, and we would circle the things that were kind of similar, and so that they could see the pattern in their life. And then that gave me the ammunition to say, as we went forward in our lives together, hey, gosh, you used to have this struggle, and gosh, you're not doing that anymore, and isn't that great? And become the cheerleader that my sponsors have been for me, and that I get to in turn be forever someone else. And it has been a magical part of a 12-step program for me. Food has been the hardest thing to have a relationship with in my life, and I'm so grateful for OA. I'm really grateful for this meeting that I get to pop on in the morning when I do my walk several times a week and listen to you. I haven't shared in a very long time because I have felt I just really needed to hear what you had to say, but today I felt like I could offer some encouragement to go forward and keep doing the steps, because every time I do them over, I've done them many times, I have a new awakening with God. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, CTT. Awesome. Okay, Elizabeth T., you're up next, followed by Donna B.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth T. from Minneapolis, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I just want to say that what I the previous many of the previous paragraphs really are talking about, you know, who is the right person and what is the right person, and you know, there's many suggestions. And right, we've heard about sponsor, we've heard about clergy, we've heard about psychologists and so forth. And I think in this particular paragraph, we've already chosen the person. And I liked a couple of the shares, which are, you know, we can bring God into it. We can ask God, and that, you know, who should be the right person? My past fifth step that I did, I've done in other programs a fifth step, and of course it was face to face, but during the pandemic and during many other, you know, some of the challenges, you know, how do we find that person? And again, I would just encourage, and I feel like it's really worked for me, is just that I pray about it, and the inspiration comes. The inspiration does come. Who is the right person? And generally speaking, my experience has been most of them, you know, or you know, they understand what we're trying to do. That this, yes, this is a life and death situation. They're honored. I have also, from my past experience, heard a few fifth steps, and I have to say, it's from that perspective, it's a great honor and privilege to be brought into their confidence and to walk with them during that time on the journey. The first part of, you know, this chapter talks about, you know, we've been trying to get a new attitude and a new relationship with our Creator and to discover the obstacles in our path. So this is part of it, is, you know, in that fourth step, we're looking at causes and conditions. And I've many times gone in, especially in this last fourth step, which is with a vision for you and a vision for you sponsor, is I've gone in thinking, oh yeah, I've really uncovered a bunch of defects, or I've uncovered causes and conditions. And that's when the miracle happens, when I admit to God, to another human being, and to myself, the exact nature of my wrongs. I'm able to really grow in understanding of maybe some of the causes and conditions, some of the pruning that needs to take place, so that I can grow closer to my Creator, and then ultimately be more of service. So I really appreciate this meeting, and I especially just this reminder that, you know, I got it, all things go back to, like, I get to pray about it. Who is the right person? And that the miracle happens when I follow directions here, and I get the results that so many of you have talked about, and so many of you have brought so much hope to this meeting. So thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth T. Donna B., you're up next, and then we'll have time for maybe two or three more shares. So please share with us, Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Thank you, Elaine B., for circling back to me. Apparently, I had forgotten to pack my son's lunch for camp today. What I feel compelled to share about is that by the time I've gotten to steps 4 and 5, I've hopefully done a rigorous study on steps 1, 2, and 3 and have developed an understanding of what this disease really is and what it means to be powerless over mind and body when it comes to ingesting my alcoholic food ingredients. And the reason I think it's important to remember what this disease is and the power of this disease as I approach step 5 is that it helps me to remember I have a disease. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a broken person. I'm not a person that deserves to be shamed and humiliated and shunned. I'm a sick person with a disease. a disease that is so powerful just compelled me to do things that are disturbing, really disturbing. I remember hearing a story about a man who was at an AA meeting, and he was in the parking lot with a sponsor who happened to also be my sponsor, so he told me the story. And the man went on and on about what a horrible father he was, and the shared sponsor that we had at the time responded to him and said, "You're either an alcoholic or you're a horrible father. You can't be both. And if you really have this disease, so much of your poor behavior was born out of the disease." And that really helps me to remember, because what I carry the most shame about is my promiscuity. And when I remember this is a disease that robbed me of the ability to experience true intimate connection, I can see why I substituted it with something that was empty and harmful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Donna D. Glad you're able to come back on. So we do have time for two or three more shares on page 75, paragraph 1. Who'd like to share?
Carol F.
Carol F.
Joan Marie from Vegas.
Joan Marie. Well, let's take Carol F. and Joan Marie, and that might give us an extra minute or two for newcomers and sponsor phone numbers. So please share with us, Carol F.
Good morning. Thank you. Carol F. from Oregon, recovering compulsive overeater. I just wanted to share really addressing the issue of who to ask and whether it's going to work or not. And I did several fifth steps in my life in this and other programs and hadn't really felt the relief that everybody is talking about. and I thought I was telling the whole truth. But what was happening was there were some elements of my history that I was so deeply ashamed about. Not that I wasn't talking about them, but when I expressed them, invariably the people that I was sharing with would try to reassure me, you know, that I'm not so bad and other people have done worse and things like that. And that didn't help. I really needed someone to hear the depth of my remorse and the depth of my sadness and guilt over things that I had done. And I finally ended up choosing a pastor in my spiritual community and did a fifth step with him about a year ago. And I told him before we began, I said, "This is not about you telling me that I'm not a bad person. I really need you to just hear what I did and how it has affected me." And he was able to do that without, I mean, he wanted to reassure me, but he understood that I needed to be heard deeply. And for the consequences to be understood of what I had done, and that gave me some relief, some release. Yes, it's very important for me to understand that I'm a sick person and not to be quote blamed, etc. But it's also really important for me to understand the depth of my pain, the pain that I felt over some really, really misguided and really abusive things that I did. So I just wanted to share that for those who are hearing the fifth step. I love it when I hear that they just
gentle reminder.
Thank you. Because that is what I really needed, and it has really brought a lot of healing. Thank you so much, and thanks for all your service. I pass.
Thank you to Carol F. And Joan Marie M., you'll be the last share for today.
Hi, I'm Joan Marie, and I want to thank everybody in Vision. I mean, beautiful people and helpful people. I'm going back to 1985, and what my sponsor did back then, she did write a couple notes, but what came to, it was about five things, and the only thing I remember is the self-hatred, because I always felt if you really knew me, you'd hate me too, and I really had that to the depth of my core. But now I want to go back to one of my I took a fifth step. The person I'd never seen before came into the meeting, and later on she told me that she was ready to kill herself. So I don't know how long after that, a couple weeks or a month or so, we did her fifth step. And with that, I could see the transformation. Boy, I can fill up right now. The transformation in her face, and it was amazing. It was light. And then when she went home, her husband saw it too. So it's such an important step, and it's a freedom step. And I remember my being drilled into me that when I did my fifth step, it was about me and only me, not what you did to me or anything like that. It was, and that was really drummed into me. I really knew that. So with that, I'd like to pass. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie. We might be able to sneak in a two-minute share if somebody wants to jump in.
Kristen R. in Virginia.
Please go ahead, Kristen.
Thank you. My name is Kristen R. in Virginia. I'm a recovering, grateful, compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to jump in about the fifth step that it's an ongoing gift because doing the fifth step many times taught me to be honest with someone else. I'm a born liar, and I don't say that to beat myself up or to tear myself down, but just to acknowledge that when I can, I will lie. And so if I tell someone else the truth, that's me recovering from my disease. And so I just need to continue to tell my sponsor or someone else who I can trust the truth. And that will set me free. So with that, I pass.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you, everybody, that has shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read a vision for you? Eileen M. Eileen, we're not able to hear you. Perhaps Naomi.
Elaine, I'm here.
Okay.
I mean Elaine, sorry.
Oh, okay, Eileen. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
I was having trouble unmuting. Okay. Eileen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.